Shalom, Australia. Three members of a family at Chalamish were slaughtered in their home on Friday night as they waited for guests to join them to celebrate the birth of a new grandchild. 19-year-old Omar Al-Abed from the nearby village of Kabul burst in armed with a large knife and began stabbing the members of the family. He killed the grandfather of the family, aged 70, and two of his adult children, a son and a daughter. Their names have not yet been released. His wife was seriously wounded and taken to the Shaare Tzedek in Jerusalem, where she underwent surgery. The couple are survived by three other children. The youngest had given birth to the new grandchild that morning. One of the women present managed to rush several small children to a nearby room and lock the door. She called the police. When police arrived, the assailant was wounded. He has been released from hospital and handed over to the security services for questioning. Photographs released by the army showed the extent of the savage attack. Blood covered the house. Abed triggered an alarm when he climbed over the fence of the settlement, but he managed to make it into the house of his victims, some 150 meters from where he breached the fence, without being challenged. The IDF is investigating how he managed to walk the 3 kilometers from his village to Chalamish without being detected, and why the first alarm, when he breached the fence, was not conveyed to the local security unit. Abed had posted a Facebook post detailing his intention as he walked towards the community. In initial questioning, he said he bought the knife 2 days ago wanting to commit a terror attack because of events surrounding the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. He had a Quran with him. It was a tense week in Jerusalem after last Friday's murder of two Israeli policemen by three Israeli Arabs. The three went to the Temple Mount where, it was revealed on Thursday, a fourth man had brought in the guns to be used in the murders. After collecting their weapons, they left the site, heading towards the Lion's Gate where they committed the murders. The decision of the police to install metal detectors at the entrance to the Temple Mount infuriated the Waqf, the Jordan-based religious authority which is responsible for the site. They have staged a week-long strike and organized protests. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas announced on Friday that he was freezing all contacts with Israel until Israel commits to cancelling all the measures against our Palestinian people in general and Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa Mosque in particular. He specifically condemned the deployment of metal detectors at the Temple Mount compound. Abbas called the measures falsely presented as a security measure to take over control of Al-Aqsa Mosque. Abbas said the campaign for Jerusalem has effectively begun and will not stop until a Palestinian victory and the release of the holy sites from Israeli occupation. The dramatic statement came after a day of riots around the Old City and the Jerusalem area. Three Palestinians were killed on Friday and 200 others were wounded. Dozens of buses filled with worshippers were turned back as police checkpoints at Jerusalem's entrances. Makeshift checkpoints were set up in and around the Old City, and police patrols were bolstered in the alleyways and on paths taken by Jewish and Muslim worshippers to the Temple Mount and Western Wall. Large crowds of Palestinians gathered at various entrances to the Old City, where many began chants vowing to redeem Al-Aqsa and calling for the expulsion of the Jews. Only a few Palestinians agreed to security checks, including metal detectors, and entered the Al-Aqsa site, with thousands more praying or protesting at various sites around the city. Members of the Joint Arab List, Knesset members, tried to make their way to the Temple Mount. The Knesset members met with leaders of the Islamic Waqf before marching with protesters through East Jerusalem towards the Old City. M.K. Hanin Zoabi said that the lawmakers were given permission to advance towards the site, but chose to stay at the checkpoint in solidarity with those prevented from praying as they wish. M.K. Jamal Zahalka said the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is responsible for any disturbances over his decision to keep metal detectors in place to check worshippers going into the Temple Mount. In the Qalandia refugee camp east of Jerusalem, 600 Palestinians threw rocks and rolled burning tires at troops. Israeli forces responded with live fire, tear gas, stun grenades and rubber bullets. In Hebron, hundreds of Palestinians also took to violent demonstrations. The army responded with less lethal weapons. At Wadi Jos, just north of the Old City walls, rioters threw rocks and water bottles at police and some set off fireworks. Police responded with tear gas, pushing back the crowd. Rumours abound in the Islamic world about Israel's intention to take over the Temple Mount, despite Israeli assurances from the Prime Minister downwards that Israel has no intention of changing the status quo. Fanning the rumours, the deputy leader of the Islamic movement in Israel, Sheikh Kamal Khatib, said during the week that Israel has been injecting chemical substances into the walls of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to cause its corrosion. He said that after last Friday's murders, Israelis were pretending to search for weapons but were actually damaging the mosque. Meanwhile, a new U.S. State Department report says a myriad of Israeli policies, such as continued settlement building and aggressive military operations in the West Bank, are driving Palestinian terrorism, while the Palestinian Authority is making substantial efforts to halt such violence. It said that Israel was stirring attacks on its citizens through actions to create a lack of hope for Palestinians and motivate them to carry out acts of terror. The Neighbourist International said it was deeply concerned at the pro-Palestinian bias in the document, releasing a statement which said it's Palestinian leadership, Fatah and Hamas, that incites violence against Israelis on a daily basis. The group urged the State Department to correct what it described as an imbalanced narrative. In a major development that could lead to indictment of senior public officials, one of the men arrested in connection with suspected corruption in the multi-million dollar purchase of Navy vessels from Germany, Mickey Ganor, a former agent for the German submarine company ThyssenKrupp, agreed to the conditions presented by the state prosecutor and signed a deal to become a state witness on Friday. Under the deal, Ganor will serve 1 year in prison and pay a fine of up to 10 million shekels in return for his cooperation. Until trial, he will remain under house arrest. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking to leaders of four European countries in Budapest on Wednesday, unaware that his remarks were being conveyed through the interpreter's headphones to the press outside. Netanyahu told Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, along with leaders of the Czech Republic, Poland and Slovakia, Europe has to decide if it wants to live and thrive or it wants to shrivel and disappear. I am not very politically correct. I know that's a shock to some of you. It's a joke. But the truth is the truth, both about Europe's security and Europe's economic future. Both of these concerns mandate a different policy towards Israel. Four Israeli teenagers were arrested on suspicion of responsibility for toppling tombstones in a series of attacks at the Templar Cemetery in Haifa. Three of the four, all aged 16, were arrested inside the cemetery. A fourth teen was arrested later. Thousands of people took to the streets of Tel Aviv on Thursday evening to protest the government's declared opposition earlier this week to same-sex couples adopting children in Israel, giving preference to heterosexual couples. The Israeli military on Wednesday unveiled the scope of its humanitarian assistance in Syria, treating chronically ill children who have no access to hospitals, building clinics in Syria, and supplying hundreds of tons of food, medicines, and clothes to war-ravaged villages across the border. Since June 2016, over 600 Syrian children, accompanied by their mothers, have come to Israel for treatment as part of Operation Good Neighbor. The IDF is also currently facilitating construction of two clinics within Syria, which will be run by locals and workers from NGOs, and another one inside Israel. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.